Have you ever heard of fruit hunters? Fruit hunters are people, according to the Huffington Post, that do not go to the grocery store and are content to just get an apple or an orange. Fruit hunters are people who are obsessed, I mean an absolute obsession, they're fanatics, with rare and exotic fruit. Again, they just don't go to your local grocery store. They spend thousands of dollars, get on a plane, go to the ends of the earth, go into the deepest jungles, just to try to find some of the most exotic, rare fruit that's on the planet. Fruit like the star fruit, the dragon fruit, lychee fruit. And my favorite is the rambutan. Did we already have that photo up? I don't know if we did or not. Let me show it to you again. The rambutan fruit. Look at that. Put that in your kids' lunch and see what... if anyone will trade him for a chocolate chip. That looks like some kind of alien spore that would like infect humanity and wipe us all out or something. But that is called the rambutan. It's a fruit from Malaysia, one of those rare exotic fruit that fruit hunters go after. It's really soft and really sweet and said to taste like chicken. No, not chicken. It's really, really sweet and soft and supposed to taste exactly like a grape. Now, I don't know about you, but that fuzzy, whatever weird looking thing makes apples, oranges, and bananas look pretty plain. Well, when it comes to fanatical obsession, passion for fruits, believers, you and I are to be fruit hunters extraordinaire. And I'm talking spiritual fruit. Our fruit is not to be rare. It's not to be hard to find. It's not to be exotic. Matter of fact, the fruit that we have in our lives is to be here locally to the ends of the earth, glaringly obvious that the spiritual fruit of God Himself is in us and coming out of us. That's why this sermon series called Fruit Gushers. I passed out a little pack of fruit gushers to all of our staff in staff meeting on Monday. Fruit Gushers. We're doing an in-depth study of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, Fruit Gushers is a fruity, chewy candy that when you bite into it, fruit juice gushes out. Last time I checked, they do not have rambutan flavor yet, but maybe they're working on that. Anyway, this is to be us. When you and I interact with our family, we interact with people at work, when we live real life with real people and our lives cross their path, the fruit of the Spirit, God, the life of Jesus in us, is to gush out of us to advance the gospel for the glory of God. Now, what we're saying in this study, remember, you can see on the big screen, here's kind of the theme. We're talking about the authentic Christian life because Galatians 5 is all about authentic Christian living. It's being real, transparent people in the real world. An authentic Christian life is a fruit of the Spirit-filled life. And this is what I'm wanting us to really get into our hearts and our minds, myself also. This is the life God wants us to experience on the inside and wants us to express on the outside. Over these next 10 weeks, today talking about love, this is the life God wants for you. And this is the life God wants to live through you and through me. This is it. Because you remember the fruit of the Spirit, as we're looking at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you don't have that in your Bible, this is where we're going to be looking all the rest of summer. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. God wants you to experience in your life, in good times, bad times, all times, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. God wants to express through you, to your family, to your friends, to your community. He wants you to express the life of Jesus. These are the characteristics of Jesus. His love, His joy, His peace flowing in us and flowing out of us. Now, message one last week, we looked at the first seven words, but the fruit of the Spirit is. I tried to introduce this entire series. I laid the groundwork of us understanding for what the fruit of the Spirit is. If you were not here last week, you can get the CD. You can use the church app on your smartphone. You can go to Truthcasters. Our sermons are listed there. You can go to the website and either download it or watch it. There's numerous ways, but I really want to encourage you sometime this week to catch last week's message to lay the groundwork for this entire series. So what we're doing the rest of these 9 messages is we're going to take each one of the fruit of the Spirit and we're going to discuss them in depth. Remember, as we are going through this series, let me just hit some highlights from last week, and I'll do this every week. We cannot have the fruit of the Spirit unless we have the Holy Spirit. And the only way we have the Holy Spirit is we've got to be born of the Spirit. And the only way we're born of the Spirit, Jesus has to be our personal Lord and Savior. Once you and I come to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins through His death on the cross and His glorious resurrection, once we enter into a personal relationship with Him, the Bible tells us that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit in us can produce the fruit of the Spirit. The love that we're talking about today is only produced by Him. Fruit is what hangs on us, the way that an apple hangs on a tree and identifies it as an apple tree, the way an orange hangs on an orange tree and identifies it as an orange tree. The Holy Spirit in us is showing out of us by the fruit in our lives. The love, the joy, the peace shows others to see and experience that the life of Jesus is in us and the life of Jesus is flowing out of us. They see that and experience it again for the advancement of the gospel and for the glory of God. Remember about the fruit of the Spirit, very important. We do not manufacture it. It's not about our hard work. The only way the fruit of the Spirit is produced, the love we're going to talk about today, the only way that love that we're going to experience it and express it, the only way the love of the fruit of the Spirit, and that a love we're going to talk about, is through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it ourselves. This series is in no way, it would be a great mistake to think this series is about our self-effort. It's not about self-effort. It's not about us trying real hard to be loving and us trying real hard to love people and us trying real hard to find love. It's not about self-effort. It's all about surrender. If you're saved, you've been born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and when you and I surrender, live a life daily surrendered to the Spirit, He produces that fruit in us and through us. Remember, it's fruit singular, not fruits of the Spirit plural. We're not talking about 9 different fruit. We're talking about one fruit in 9 different flavors. One cluster of grapes with 9 grapes. One fruit with the 9 characteristics of Jesus. Now, don't let it be confusing. Even though we're going to look at each of these flavors separately, it's still only one fruit. You see, these are a package deal. We can't pick and choose the fruit that we want and the fruit that we don't want. As a born-again believer in Jesus, we may excel in some of these. We may be stronger in some of the 9 than others, but we are to have all 9 in our lives at once, not only in our personal lives, but at First Baptist Arnold, all 9 of these are to be in the life of this church, being expressed to each other and expressed to the community. Remember, as we go through the fruit of the Spirit, none of us are perfect, but we want a daily growing presence of love and joy and peace in our lives. In other words, we are committed to be an ever-growing disciple, growing in our relationship with the Holy Spirit as we become like Jesus more each and every day, surrendering ourselves to Him. God produces the fruit of the Spirit in us and through us. And finally, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is our witness to the world. This world is starving. There are people you work with tomorrow. There are neighbors in your neighborhood who drove you crazy with all their fireworks this weekend. Those people are starving for real love, real peace in their hearts, real joy. And when Jesus is our Savior and we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit inside of us, we have the privilege, as the Holy Spirit bears love and bears joy and bears peace through us, we have the privilege of feeding those around us as they see the fruit of the Spirit and experience the fruit of the Spirit, as they see and experience the difference Jesus has made in our lives. It's a witness to them. It's a witness to them of the difference that Jesus can make. Now, what we're looking at today, the first flavor of the fruit of the Spirit, the first Jesus characteristic, the first trait that God wants us to experience on the inside and express on the outside, is this word love. Let me give you three quick lessons for living. Lessons for living, number one, about love. The core of the fruit of the Spirit is love. The core of the fruit of the Spirit is love. God could have picked any one of these nine to be the first one listed. God intentionally listed love as the first trait of the fruit of the Spirit because I'm convinced it's the most important trait. Matter of fact, it's the core of the fruit of the Spirit. If we remove love from this list, we don't even have the other eight flavors. I believe the reason that God puts love first and the reason why in God's Word we see the first flavor of love, it teaches you and teaches me the priority of your life as a Christian and my life as a Christian. And the priority of First Baptist Church Arnold is love. But we need to know it's the right kind of love. It's a real love that only starts and ends with God. Remember in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says God is love. Genuine love can only come from God who is love. And not only God is love, but in Romans 5:8, it says God demonstrated His love for us. It's one thing to know God is love and to know God loves me. It's something else to know that God demonstrated His love for us in Romans 5:8. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. If you go through something in your life and there's even a speck of you doubting if God really does love you, all you've got to do is look at the cross. The cross settles it once and for all. You see, genuine love is only found in God who is love. He is the only source. And love is the first flavor listed in the fruit of the Spirit because it's the most important one. The Bible tells us love is the most important thing. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Colossians 3:14, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." In Matthew 22, when Jesus was asked, and I'll show you this verse a little later, when Jesus was asked about what is the greatest commandment of them all, you know what He said? Love God, love people. Love God, love people. I read a story about earlier this year about a church in Mississippi. There was a group of people up on the second floor of this church, and the floor, for whatever reason, poor construction, something, I don't know, the floor collapsed, and 70 people went tumbling down to the lower level as the entire floor collapsed. 35 of the church members were injured, but all ended up being okay. And the headline was three words. It said, "Mississippi Church Collapses." And when I saw that headline, I thought about this, because hear me, First Baptist Arnold. If we ever lose or leave the love that God has for us through Jesus and His cross, and if we ever lose or leave our responsibility to love God and to love others, these walls may still stand, and I don't think any of the floors are going to come crashing in, but if we ever walk away from God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for other people, if that ever ceases to be the core of what we're about in Jesus Christ, these walls will still stand, but who we are as a church and what we are about as a church will crumble and collapse all around us. The core of the fruit of the Spirit. When you're born of the Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit. When you surrender to the Holy Spirit, He bears that fruit in our lives to experience, that fruit for us to express to others. And the priority, the core that's listed is love. Look at lesson for living number two. The fruit of the Spirit's love only comes from Christ. The fruit of the Spirit's love only comes from Christ. It's vital that we understand the love that we're talking about in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, as you look through your Bible, you see the word love all over the place. In English, there's love here, love there, it's love. But understand that in the original language of the Bible, which is the Greek language, there were four different words for love. Now, in English, we see the word love, but every time in the Bible we see a word love, it has one of four meanings. Let me share with you the four words in the Greek for love. Oops, let me go back to this. Because the most important thing to know is that God loves us, and the most important thing to do is to love God and love people. Because of that, we've got to know what that word love really means. Again, the most important thing you can know is God loves you. And the most important thing you and I can do is love God and love people. Here's the four different Greek words, the original language of the Bible, for love. When you see love in your Bible, it means one of these four. There's storge, which is a family love. This is the relationship we have inside of our families. Husband for wife, kids, grandkids, it's storge. The second type of love we see in the Bible is philia. Now that sounds like the word Philadelphia. It's a friendship love. And Philadelphia is called the city of what? Brotherly love. That's where this word comes from. This is a friendship love. This is the love that friends have for one another. The third word is eros, which is a sexual romantic love that God created for one man and one woman who's married. The fourth one, which is the love that is listed in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, it literally says the fruit of the Spirit is not storge, or the fruit of the Spirit is not philia, the fruit of the Spirit is not eros, the fruit of the Spirit is agape. Agape is God's love. It's not natural human love, it's supernatural heaven's love. The only supernatural source of agape love is God Himself. Agape love is perfect, pure, undeserved, unconditional, and forever. The fruit of the Spirit, the love that God wants us to express and experience, is agape love. Oh, we may have these others in our life as humans, sure, but this is the one. God's love in us, God's love through us. Now, let me show you what agape love is. Agape, the fruit of the Spirit love, is a selfless love. In other words, agape love always puts the other person first. Agape love is a seeking love. It intentionally, willfully goes out of its way to seek to benefit the one being loved and seeking no benefit for the one doing the loving. Agape love is a sacrificial love. It gives everything. The word love in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, is the exact same word for love in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Both of those are agape love. It's a sacrificial love that is best seen in Jesus giving His life on the cross for your sins and my sins. Let's just stop for a moment. When we think about love in our hearts and love in our lives, I mean, those other three types of love, sure. But God wants you to experience in your heart a pure, a perfect, a forever, undeserved, unconditional, selfless love that always puts you first, seeking love that always seeks to benefit you, and sacrificial love that gives everything. And God wants that love that flows in us to flow out of us. He wants us to represent to the world our love. We can't manufacture that. We can't do that type of love. We can't dig real deep and try read a Hallmark card and watch a Hallmark movie and get, you know, we can't do it. But when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, the selfless, seeking, sacrificial love of God flows out of us. Think what this type of love would mean to marriages. Think what this type of love would mean to relationships. Think what this sort of love would mean to young girls who are in human trafficking. I can go on and on and on. Think what this sort of love means. This is the love God wants us to experience in our hearts, and our homes. This is the love that God wants us to express to this broken, lost world. Agape love, God's love. The fruit of the Spirit is agape. It's a seeking, selfless, sacrificial love. But you know what? We can't give it if we ain't got it. We can't give away this love until we first possess this love. Let me take a step back. Human beings are on an endless pursuit. You know, I know in our world today, culture changes. Man, how culture is changing. Who can keep up with it? It's crazy. Technology, what a day we're living in. Technology changes, culture changes, but I'll tell you one thing that has never changed. People are looking for real love in their homes, their marriage, their friends, and their community. And on that journey to find a real deep love, the road is littered with people who have been hurt, wounded, rejected, and have unsatisfied souls. Matter of fact, there will be a bunch in this building today coming to church They are so hurt by the pursuit of real love, they've come to a point that they can never really give love or receive love again. No way. God is love. And the search for real love begins and ends in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you will just not reject God's love, but if you will accept God's love by coming to Jesus into a personal relationship, check this out. The love that Jesus poured out on the cross is the exact same love that Jesus will pour into you. Agape love. God doesn't need you, but man, how He wants you. God's not stuck with you. God picked you. God loves you so much, He sent His perfect, sinless Son to suffer and die on a cross so we could know God through Jesus, so we could know love, and so we could spend forever with Him in heaven. And once we come to know Jesus and that fruit of the Spirit, agape love, once we know that undeserved, unconditional love, we no longer have condemnation in our lives, but we have satisfaction and salvation. The power of God's love can change your life. The agape fruit of the Spirit love is the only love that can free you, fill you, and overflow from you to change other people's world. The search is over and it ends at a cross. And once you know God's love, life is different and you live differently. Even when you go through struggles in your life that are real, that are hard and they hurt, you know that the love of God that brought you to today is the same love that will bring you into tomorrow. And even when you fail and you fall, you know that God's love will never walk away from you. He will never give up on you. Matter of fact, His love draws us back to Him so we can confess and get our hearts clean and right before Him. When we know God's love in our life, this agape love, this fruit of the Spirit love, this is what holds marriages together and makes them last. This is the love that holds a family together. This is the love, the only love that heals our hurts and takes away our fears. This is the only love that's out there that can satisfy our souls and bring absolute comfort in a confusing world. This is the only love where God loves us enough to discipline us, to protect us, so He can grow us. This is the only love, when we know God loves us this much, that gives us the boldness to live by faith when we don't understand the world around us. This is the only love that can bring glory to God. And there are people today, you love God and you know God loves you, but you are still trying to fix that love search with human love. It's never going to work. We're created that way. This is the love. This is the love that changes your personal life, your family's life, the church family's life, and the community life. I asked my daughter, Lauren, permission to share this story with you, and she said I could. My daughter, Lauren, is 20 now, but when she was 5 years old, I went walking through our living room. I had no idea what I was doing, and she said at the top of her lungs, she goes, "Woohoo! Love alarm, love alarm, love alarm. Daddy, you set off my love alarm." She's 5. Now, I'm thinking, obviously, she's been hanging out with her mom, whose love alarm is going off all the time for me, and who can, you know. No. What I did, I set off your love alarm. I said, "Lauren, what does that mean? Where did you hear that?" She said, "I made it up." And I'm thinking in my mind, well, you better unplug that alarm before you turn 13. That's all I got to say. So I bent over. I says, "Honey, that is so sweet." I said, "Listen, but don't say that to anyone else but Daddy. Don't tell anyone else that they set off your love alarm but Dad." And she said, "Okay, Mommy too." And I say, "All right, that works." Now, I am clueless what a love alarm is, okay? But I know this, if we have one, and if we are followers of Jesus Christ, our love alarm should be going off all the time, even when we're hurting, even when we're down. Maybe that's when it rings the loudest, because life gets real simple. God loves us, and through Jesus, we have the privilege of loving God and loving other people. And it's an agape, selfless, sacrificial, seeking love. It's a love alarm. Number three. The fruit of the Spirit's love describes us and defines us. It's our final one. The fruit of the Spirit's love describes us and defines us. If you're a follower of Jesus, our life is measured by how we love. Okay? Give, build things. Those can be the results of love. You know, stand for the Ten Commandments. Be excited that Hobby Lobby won as we should. All those sort of things. It's great. But the measurement of your life and my life is by how we love. The Bible's clear about that. What does this agape love look like? I've already mentioned it. If we know Jesus as our Savior, agape love looks like this. Number one, we love God. We love God. Jesus said it's the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. He's basically saying everything. Loving God is all or nothing. It's a passionate pursuit in this real world. A passionate pursuit of each and every day. Not just going to church and not doing nice things for nice people. It's so much deeper than that. It's all or nothing. It is a passionate pursuit of saying, Lord, I want to fall deeper in love with Jesus each and every day. Jesus said, if you love me in John 14:15, you will obey me. We fall deeper in love with Him as we pray and as we are in the Word. You know, if you're in a love relationship with someone, it changes everything. If you love someone, you want them to talk to you and you want to talk to them. We talk to God through prayer. He talks to us through His Word. We worship Him. We love Him. We are passionately pursuing Him to fall deeper in love with Him. I remember with my wife Donna now, when you really are head over heels in love with someone, it changes everything. It occupies your heart, occupies your mind. And this is saying the agape love, the fruit of the Spirit love in my life. Lord, help there to be nothing in my life that ever gets in the way of your call to a passionate love relationship with you. The greatest commandment for the believer is all or nothing love for God. Are we perfect? No. But the growing presence in our lives of loving God more and more each day. He also said, this agape love, what it looks like, not only will we love God, but we will love others. I could go on with many verses, I don't have time, basically says if we don't love others, we don't really love God. How we know our identity in Christ is best defined by how we love other people and how we love each other. We love others, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and to all, just as we do for you. May the Lord make you. Let's stop right there. Once again, it's not self-effort. It's not hard work. It's not something we manufacture. The Lord make you. We can't have this sort of love in and of ourselves, in our humanity, in our efforts, in our own spirituality. This is God's love, supernatural love, that only happens when we surrender. It's only produced by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in us. May the Lord make you increase and abound. This is two really descriptive words. It's a picture of taking an empty 5-gallon bucket and putting it under Niagara Falls. That bucket's going to be empty and it's going to get filled and be full and it's going to overflow. And this word love is the same word in John 3:16, the same word in Galatians 5. It's agape love. May the Lord make you only through the Holy Spirit. May you be filled full and overflow with a selfless, seeking, sacrificial, pure love, undeserved, unconditional love to one another. The one another there is clearly speaking to each other as believers. The fruit of the Spirit's love means that we will love other Christians and we will love our church family. That means loving those who are easy to love. That means loving those who are hard to love. 15 times in the New Testament, we are told to love one another. Matter of fact, in John 13:35, Jesus gives the 11th commandment where He says, the world will know your disciples, my disciples, by how? How we love one another. Loving each other with agape love that only the fruit of the Spirit can do is our ID badge to the world. When the world sees you and I with all of our differences, I mean all of our personal preferences, we are so different in so many ways. But it's supernatural that God can unite us around Jesus Christ. When they see that you and I love each other, it captures their heart and captivates their minds. How does that happen? And they see and experience the life of Jesus through us by how we love one another. That's who we are about. In April on NBC News, they told the story. Baltimore held the Food Safety Summit. It's called the National Safe Food Summit. There were over 1,300 of the greatest experts in the United States on the issue of food safety. We all want safe foods. And I mean, we're talking people from the government, of human resources, disease control, major corporations, McDonald's, others. You had the 1,300 of the top officials sitting in a room talking about food safety. And guess what happened to several hundred of them? They got food poisoning. I mean, who that group is and what that group is about, the Food Safe Summit, they get food poisoning, it doesn't fit who we are, who we represent, what this group is about. The expectation for us is to love God and love people. And if we don't love God and if we don't love each other, we're going to be a sick church that makes the world sick. But I'm so grateful, First Baptist. I've been here now into my 10th year. April will be 10 years, but this is the 10th, 4th of July. And before that, our sweet, beloved Pastor Emeritus Gerald Davis was here for 30 years. Other pastors, Pastor Couch was here for 10 years. If you're new to this church, it's only God's grace. This church has a decades of us getting along and having love and unity. Not perfect. We all fail, just like you're not perfect and you fail. Thank you for loving God and for loving each other. And we've got so much to grow in that area. It's proof of the fruit of the Spirit. But look what else it says. Not only one another, but to all. This speaks of the lost world. See, every person is either a fellow believer or they're an unbeliever. Every person is lost or saved. One another can be our own family. We can have own family members who know Christ or don't know Christ. We have people we work with who know Christ or don't know Christ. This says the greatest commandment is to love God and then to love people. And when we love God, we love people. And He wants this love, this agape love that only the fruit of the Spirit can produce. He wants us to love each other, love the believers, love our church family. But to all means every person, the lost world. Because I know that God loves me and I love God. And man, I want people to love God. To be on mission is to love people. You know, what's the greatest act of love we can do? Here it is. The most loving thing we can do in this world is to point those who don't know Jesus to Jesus. There's nothing more loving than we can do in the world than point those to Jesus who do not know Jesus. One more thing about what does this agape love look like? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed or in truth. It looks like we love God. We love others, which includes believers and includes the lost world. But also, you know what this teaches us? Lip-only love is not love. Love is not a fuzzy feeling. Agape love. It's not a fuzzy feeling. It's not an intellectual doctrinal theory. It's an action with a motive that's based upon the truth of God's Word. It's active. It loves. A lot of people say love is a verb. I get that to a degree, but before it's a verb, it's a noun because God is love. If you don't have the noun of God being love, forget the verb of that it's something we do. Lip love, just saying we love someone, just saying we love others, that's why our tithes and our offerings, that's why I celebrate America, that's why we have people right across this hall who's probably changing one of your kids' smelly diapers because you give them squash to eat and all that sort of stuff. That's why people drive the shuttles. That's why we have teams, if you read your worship guide. Why we do that? Because lip-only love is not love. It's not a fuzzy feeling. It's not an intellectual pursuit, a theory. It is action with the motive that's based on the truth of God's Word. Our love is not blind. Our love is based upon Scripture and what the Bible says real love really is. So today, will you accept or reject God's love? Have you in your life come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing He loves you, knowing that your sins, my sins, have separated us from Him, but believing He died on the cross and rose from the grave and He's the only way. There was a time in your life you turned from sin, placed your trust in Him for forgiveness to be your Lord and Savior. If you reject God's love today, then all this love we've talked about you will never experience. He still loves you. You can't make Him stop loving you, but you won't experience it in your life until you come to a personal relationship with Jesus. Really what it comes down to is a decision. Are you going to accept or reject God's love? And that means, do I accept or reject Christ? The second thing, if you are a believer, what a great day to just renew your love. I mean, there's probably many here today, just to rest and rejoice in the love God has for you. Just to be reminded of that love He has that never leaves us, never forsakes us. It's a day to just renew your love again, just to stop and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving me. And I surrender to you. Help me love you and help me love others, to point them to you. And finally, today, have you drifted away from God and His love? Have you drifted away from His church? Well, you've been confronted today with God's agape love. And everyone in this room, if you're in that category of you know God's love, but you've drifted away from it, you're facing it again today. You will do one of two things. You have only two choices. You will run from Him or you will return to Him. Which is it going to be? You going to run from Him again today? Or are you going to return to Him? And we love Him. We pray. We love Him through His church, through His people, because we love His people. We love Him as we saturate our hearts and minds with His Word. We love Him as we serve Him and worship Him. If you love me, you obey me, He said. Under the category of what will they think of next, I read a World Magazine article about a company in Britain that wants to change the traditional funeral casket method of saying goodbye to loved ones. The name of the company is called Vinally, rhymes with finally, Vinally. And what they will do once your loved one dies, they will take your loved one's ashes, mix them with vinyl pellets, and press the mixture of your loved one's ashes and the vinyl pellets into a record album. This is my grandma. No, I'm just teasing. They'll make a record. Now, you have to pick the song. And they have a note that you're responsible for all copyright laws. If you pick a song you don't have permission to use, it's on you. So for a mere $4,600, you can have your loved one spin in circles with a needle running through them and hear their life song to remember them by. Vinally, what song would you pick for you? What song would you pick? Well, I heard that story and thought about our message on love. If we compress our life into a song, our life song is to be a love song. If they make an album of us, sorry folks, we're a one-hit wonder. And it's a love song. Our life song is a love song of knowing God's love through Jesus Christ, of loving God and loving others. That's we're a one-hit wonder. The measure of our life is by how we love. And you can sing many songs and I can sing many songs. There's so many things you can do in your life. So many things I can do in my life. We can do so many things in this world. But if we are not loving God and not loving other people according to the truth of His Word, what you are doing and I am doing, hear me, does not matter. It's love God, love people. The way the Bible says to do that. And I want to tell you, my fellow fruit hunters and fruit gushers, there is no sweeter fruit and there is no sweeter life song than the song of God's love. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and God, we want our life song, when it's all said and done, to sing of your glory. We want our life song to be about your love for us that was demonstrated on the cross when you died for us. We want our life song as we surrender to your Holy Spirit that indwells us. God, we want to love you with everything, all or nothing. A not just going to church, but God, a passionate, desperate, relentless pursuit of falling deeper in love with you. God, we want to love others. We want to love each other as fellow followers, and we want to love all. We want to love those who don't know you. And Lord, we confess to you, thank you, that we can't manufacture this kind of love. It's supernatural. It's heaven's love. It's not human's love. But Lord, if we just surrender to you, thank you, Jesus, the love that you poured out on the cross, that agape love is the love that you'll pour into us, and it can pour out of us to other people. Oh God, in this room, the pursuit for love, the hurts, the wounds, the rejection. God, thank you that you don't need us, but you sure do want us. That you're not stuck with us. You picked us because you love us. Thank you that through Jesus on the cross, we see your love. And thank you that your love changes life, changes everything. Thank you that we live different and life's different through your love for us. God, forgive us for making it so hard. It's really loving you and loving others with your love, with God's love. Lord, help us to always be a church that stands strong on your word, that never compromises on sin. But God, protect us from thinking being spiritual means being abrasive and mean-spirited. God, help us to stand on your word with no compromise, but everyone around us will know that we genuinely love them and that we love you. Lord, is there someone here today, their heart is so empty because they've never known your love? Jesus, would they come to you right now? God, is there someone in this room who knows your love, but Lord, they've made the mistake of trying to find love in other people and other places instead of starting with you? Lord, thank you that your love makes marriage last, that your love holds families together, that your love heals hurts, that your love takes away fear, that your love gives us boldness to live by faith. We ask it all in Jesus' name.